Thank you, Jamie. Well, good morning. I am grateful for these moments we have together today. We have several miles to cover in our journey together this morning, so I invite us to grab a walking stick, to invite God, to pray together for God's cloud to lead us this morning, to guide our way. And this is unusual, but I'm going to begin today. Bear with me, every visitor and person who's not been here as often. I want to begin by speaking to our hearts today. I want to share with you about how much you matter to God, how much God loves you right now. Our minds sometimes know that we are loved by grace, but it's a long journey from our minds down to our hearts and out into our living to get that. See, here's what I realized this week, and I mean this as gently as I can. We are missing it. We are missing the grace of God in our lives. Seeing it in your life that you are missing it helped me see it in my own life that I am missing it too. We are missing the very grace of God. We spend a lot of time and intentionality and focus around here on outreach, and that is valuable and necessary and life-giving, and I'm so glad that we do. We can't give out of an empty wagon. We can't give what we don't have and own. Yes, God is still working through us. Yes, our discipleship and our love are growing, and we are making it harder than it needs to be. It's like when we're walking down a steep slope and someone hands us a walking stick and we say, no, save that for somebody who really needs it. Well, they weren't giving it to us because of the gray hairs on our head. They were giving it to us because they knew of the steep slope that's up ahead. We all need the walking stick. We all need grace. And our missing the gospel in our lives makes life more difficult for everybody. It's like we're putting boulders in the path that other people have to go around or climb over. And it does not have to be this way. God has been teaching me as I've been preparing for this Philippians study. And I pray that you will be along for every bit of the journey because this impacts everything about who we are and what God is doing through us. God's purpose for Zion. Now, one of the reasons why I chose this study on the book of Philippians, one of the reasons I hoped we could do this study, is because Philippians is known as the book of joy, and I noticed that we are missing out on joy. Now, at our best, one of the facets of who we are as a congregation is we are a fun-loving, laid-back, laugh-together kind of people. And we live in a culture that is all about the pursuit of happiness. And it's costing us our joy. Philippians is known as the book of joy. And joy is like Paul in prison, held back from his life purpose of sharing the gospel. He's supposed to be traveling around telling people about Jesus, and yet he is free. And the gospel is on the move. I thought God wanted to bring us into joy, and it turns out God wants to do something far more than only joy. God wants us to know that we are saved so that when we are on our deathbeds, we aren't calculating whether or not we have done enough to earn our way. We know that is we've been loved and saved by grace. Our very lives know that it is by grace we have been saved. And God wants to bring us into lives of focus beyond our circumstances, beyond our jail cells. Lives of purpose and meaning, because God wants to advance the gospel through us in word and deed. And what I'm discovering as I read through Philippians is Paul is laser focused on the gospel of Jesus. It is his life priority. And God is using the focus of that one person to speak to my heart today. I pray you will join me. Now, there are some mile markers and some road signs for our Philippians journey. Some places we're going to be stopping by and passing through. Places like partnership and citizenship and service, humility, reversals. These are some of the paths we're going to navigate around in this study. And I am eager for what God is going to do. Now, we're going to switch gears for a moment to prepare our minds for this journey that Paul's letter made to the Philippian church. So here are some photos of Philippi today. This is what part of the area looks like now. And you can see at the very back of the top photo, there are mountains on one side bordering Philippi. And then all around is fertile landscape for agriculture. And then on this map of Paul's day, the reddish, pinkish line is Paul's second missionary journey. And you can see, I wish I had a clicker. What would that be? In the top right-ish corner is Philippi near the coast. It's about 11 miles off of the sea. And they were the key city in Macedonia. They were right along the route that led to Rome. They had about 10,000 inhabitants, and now that's dramatically changed. Their numbers have declined, and other cities have become more prominent. And about half of the population would have loved the perks of being a Roman colony. They didn't have to pay their taxes. And as Paul alluded to, many of the people who lived there were former military who had been sent there to live. And they loved it. They were there to help support Rome. They got all the perks and wealth of being there. And the other half of the city that lived there were mostly where the church came from, the church at Philippi. They were quite poor. And yet they gave generously to Paul and his ministry. Well, if we were to trace our history back to how we got to be in these pews today and how we got to be online today, singing together about God's faithfulness and grace, there's one overlooked person in the reality of how we got here today. And yes, of course, I mean Jesus, and yes, of course, I mean Paul, and yes, of course, I mean Lydia. But the start of the church in Philippi began because of God working through the desperation of one man. Acts 16 has the account of Paul and his traveling companions, Silas, Timothy, and Luke. They had plans to go in one direction, and because of one man, because God gave Paul a vision of one man crying out in the night, "Come, help us." They went right away to Macedonia. Did you know, do our lives show that God is that powerful, that in our desperation we can call out and God will send help? We all benefit because of that one man's desperation. He was tired of missing out. Now, there's another story I want to remind us of as we think about our scripture passage today and having a framework for this series. And that is after this team traveled to Philippi, after they landed there along the coast and they were looking for other Jews there and they've met Lydia and some other women. Lydia was a merchant in purple cloth. She was named as a God-fearer. She wasn't yet a believer. She was moving in that direction. Well, she ended up opening her home to Paul and his companions, and God ended up opening all of their hearts to the gospel, and they were all baptized. And after that, Paul and Silas were walking in Philippi, and they noticed a slave girl who had an evil spirit in her. And they freed her from that evil spirit, and that landed them in jail. Because the owners disliked the way that Paul and Silas let her free, they were making money off of her and her abilities that she had. And this has similarities to our text today, because Paul and Silas are in jail, they're praising and thanking God, and people come to know God because of it. What others meant for evil, God meant for good. And what God begins, here's one of those phrases Paul Lehman referred to, what God begins, God completes. While they are praising God, their chains fall off and the prison doors come open. What would happen in our lives today or this week if we lived like God is that powerful and able to do that? What would happen? What would happen in our outreach, in our neighborhood today, if we believed God is that powerful? The jailer in this case was about to take his life because all the prisoners had been freed. But Paul knew he was already free. So he didn't run. He stayed. He knew there was a man in Macedonia who had been calling out to him for help. Now, I don't know whether that man from Macedonia, from his vision, looked like the jailer or not. It really doesn't matter. He knew he had something valuable that somebody else needed. This is a distinction from us, Zion, and us in our culture. We act like the gospel is not really good news. It's kind of meh news, right? Like, I'll tell you about it if the timing lines up right, and if I've had my coffee and a good night of sleep, and if I feel like it, and if I know you well enough, and all these other... No, this is good news of great joy for all people. This is not meh news. This is good news. And because of Paul's focus on the gospel, the jailer and his whole household were free. They received the gospel and were baptized. And it says they were filled with joy. Well, that takes us back to Paul's letter to the Philippians and the good work that God has been doing for thousands of years that is moving on to completion. I want to share with you a special story that Will Willimon, a theologian, recorded in 1994. Will was teaching at Duke University when a recruiter from the Teach America program came on campus to attract bright young college students to teach in America's most difficult and deprived school systems. The auditorium was filled with people, filled with students, when she embarrassingly said, "Looking at you tonight, I do not know why I am here. You are privileged, the beneficiaries of the best of this nation's educational resources. And I can tell by looking at you that you are all bound for Wall Street, law school, and med school. And here I stand, trying to recruit you for a salary of $15,000 a year in some of the worst school situations in America, begging you to waste your life for a bunch of ungrateful kids in the backwaters of Appalachia and in the inner city of Philadelphia. I must have been crazy to come here," she said. "I do have some literature up here, and I would be willing to talk to anybody who happens to be interested. But I know, just by looking at you, that all of you want to be a success. And here I am inviting you to be failures. So you can all leave now. But if by chance someone feels called to do the worst job any of you can imagine, then I'm here to talk with you. This meeting is over. At that moment, everybody stood up and stampeded to the front of the auditorium, fighting for a chance to talk with the recruiter, calling out to give their lives to something more interesting than chasing American success, staying to give their lives to something bigger and more important than themselves. I know what it is to be from the backwaters of Appalachia, an ungrateful kid there. And I know what it is to be like the man in Macedonia calling out for help. And I am now learning to prioritize Christ and his gospel. The book of Philippians is like a free man chained to a guard. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I would love to have some traveling companions on this journey. May God's cloud guide us. Amen.